Beis Nissan, Sunday the 25th of March, Rabbi Svi Wanderer, Hilchas Bedikas Chometz. This week's Tow Away has been sponsored by Family Rose, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rav Kaddish, Ben Rav Moshe Aharon, Zichrono Livracha.
Good morning. The aim today is to try and kind of trust with some degree of understanding of Bedikas Chometz. Obviously, many of the halachas we're familiar with, to try and bring out some of the things which are less well known and explain a bit of the background of Bedikas Chometz and why we do it. So beginning, I think a good starting point is the lead up to Bedikas Chometz, meaning on the night of, which this year will be Thursday night. Before we get to Bedikas Chometz, we have to know how we should conduct ourselves in the lead up, and in particular, davening Maariv. A person normally davenes Maariv at nightfall, so even though the Bedikas should begin at night, immediately one should, if one normally davenes Mincha at night, one should daven Maariv first. There are other things, other activities which a person should refrain from in the lead up to Bedikas Chometz. And these are things which we also avoid when it comes to times for Tefillah, Kriya Shema, and these things are in particular eating, sleeping, and learning. So although they are encouraged in good measure at the right time, but sudden, before Bedikas Chometz and half an hour beforehand as well, so we don't get involved in eating more than a kazayas of bread or mezoinos, cake, fruits and candy, doesn't really matter, but cake and bread should be avoided if one has more than a kibetza, not kazayas, kibetza, which is double kazayas, in the half an hour before Bedikas Chometz. And sleeping should be avoided, one could end up missing the right time to do Bedikas Chometz, and even learning, unless it's a very short, this is a 10-minute snippet, tear-away share, but other than that, learning should not be begun in the time of Bedikas Chometz, or even the half an hour beforehand. And all these things are in case one ends up overstepping the mark and going too far. There's an interesting halacha which is discussed in the end of Siman Tov Lamed Aleph, where if you started one of these activities, eating, sleeping, or learning, before the half an hour prior to nightfall, and then the question is, do you have to stop? So you started Beheta, in other words, one began to eat a meal or began to learn while it was still permitted, and then you want to know if you can continue. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you began to learn from four nights, you don't need to stop, you do not need to stop. Says the Ramah, you do need to stop. Says the Ramah. Indeed, it seems to be that the main opinion is that you should stop. Now, this argument over here is premised on, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the question is whether you need to stop is actually a greater stringency than even with Kriya Shema, which is, according to all opinions, deraisa, because with Kriya Shema, there isn't this issue that... let's imagine a person has not done. The person can daven later, or alternatively, they daven Maariv at from today on. You have to daven Maariv at 7:30 or so. So you daven Maariv beforehand, and 8:30 is Mambadika. So five to eight, you began to have a meal. That's the question. Do you need to stop? Yeah, a person could do that under normal circumstances. Some people do.
Yeah, sure.
So the Mishnah explains why this machlekes exists as to whether you need to stop or not. But I just want to go down a particular avenue, which is not the point he addresses directly. He then talks about, the Mishnah says, that this whole question of whether you need to stop eating or stop learning is only if you began during the day before nightfall. So if you began, says in Hischel, if you began to eat or to learn at the time of Issa, meaning at the time when the half an hour before nightfall and onwards, then the kuli alma posik, then everyone agrees you have to stop. The bedikas chometz, because at that stage bedikas chometz have a deraisa called the man shloi biter, deraisa posik. So that bedikas chometz, when you're in a situation where you haven't yet done bittel, so your bedikas chometz that you are doing now qualifies as a deraisa. So it's now you're doing it in order to deal with your Torah obligation of getting rid of chometz, and as such, it's clear in Mishnah Berurah that if you began to eat at the time or learn when you shouldn't have begun, then it's clear you have to stop. Now that just gives me an opening to discuss this point, which I think is a good background to the topic of Bedikas Chometz, just to understand whether we are dealing with a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan. course, beginning Gemara Pesachim, and it's just going to spend a few minutes on this. It's supposed to be Hilchot Bdikas Chometz, but I just want to give some background to where we're coming from. Beginning Gemara Pesachim, Or La'ar Ba'asa, Bo'ek Mitzvah Chometz La'ar Haner. And, of course, we're familiar with this couple of terminologies we're going to use in the Adibali Yeroeh, person who owns Chometz over Pesach, infringes on the Isser of Bali Yeroeh. There's a mitzvah before Pesach of Tashbisu, to eradicate the Chometz, that's your positive mitzvah to deal with Bali Yeroeh. And we have a concept of Bittul, we're familiar with as well. Bittul is what we do after Bdikas Chometz, and in the morning we take Kol Chamira. Now, the Rashi, explaining the Mishnah, Orla Arba Asa, beginning on the 14th night, Bo'ed Kemes HaChomes, we check for the Chomes, L'Ora HaNeh, says Rashi. Bo'ed Kemes, why do we check? Says Rashi. Shle Yav Ola B'Vali Yiroi O'B'Vali Motzeh. You are Bo'edek, you check, in order that you shouldn't break the Issa of Bali Yiroi, you shouldn't have the problem of having Chomes in your house on Pesach. So this is asked immediately on Rashi, this is asked 1 second. The Gemara says, in numerous places, that the Bittul Ba'al Mosagi, that it's sufficient to do Bittul. Kol Chamira is good enough. If you're worried about Bali Yiroeh, if you're worried about only Chometz, so that's not Bedikah's function. Bedikah is not there to deal with Bali Yiroeh, but you can deal with that much more simply, much more quickly, using Bittul. So, clearly there can't be the purpose of Bedikah. So says Tosfos, I'm paraphrasing a bit, Tosfos says that the actual reason for Bedikah's Chometz is because we are worried, Shema Yovel Ochra, you might come to eat it. Even though, of course, there are many things we're not allowed to eat, but we're still allowed to see or to keep in our houses. So it's about orla, bosa v'cholov. So you're not necessarily, if you have bosa v'cholov in your house, if someone's milk gets mixed up with meat, you don't have to throw it out straight away. But Chometz is more strict. Why? So he said, because, as well as famous toast, because we're in a situation where you're dealing with food items that are eaten the whole year. So you have Chometz in front of you the whole year. Pretzels and biscuits are fine today, and next week they're out of bounds. So how are you going to ensure that you avoid them? So Tosfos says that's the reason for Bedikas Chometz. You do Bedikas Chometz because you are dealing with an item that is normally in your ambit of use for the rest of the year. And therefore that's the reason for Bedikas Chometz, Shlo Yovel Ochloi. So Rashi holds because of Bali Yiroeh, you're bullied because of Bali Yiroeh, Tosfos holds because we are trying to ensure that you don't come to eat the Chometz.
But you are allowed to eat them.
On Pesach, not in London.
Yeah,
on Pesach. So that's a very good point. Yeah, so you're quite right. So, and that's really, we're going to bring this all together in a moment. Right, yeah, well said. Because, we'll develop that line. So Rashi, obviously, is the more problematic opinion, in just intuitively, because Rashi said we're dealing with Bali Yiroeh. And the Rishonim asked the question, they say, according to Rashi, it's a bit difficult, because if we're dealing with Bali Yiroeh over here, so you check in your house for Chometz, you look everywhere for Chometz, and you find almost everything, 99%. Let's imagine the 1%, something got hidden behind in Aron Kodesh, you didn't find one small thing, you didn't find one small piece. So that piece, if you find it on Pesach, what's going to happen? Bali Yiroeh. It'll be a problem, because even though you did Bedikas Chometz, if you find one tiny piece of Chometz that you didn't yet do Bedikah on, you didn't find it, there's still Bali Yiroeh, according to the at least simple logic. Maybe we could...
I'll say even if you don't find it.
Well said, yeah, better. Even better, quite honestly with script, yeah. Even better. So there's a piece of Chometz hiding in some nook or cranny somewhere, and even if you don't find it, so there's still Bali Yiroeh. So how can Rashi say that the Bedikas Chometz is there to deal with Bali Yiroeh? Surely it's a convenient way to get some way towards not infringing on Bali Yiroeh, but it can't be that it is the remedy for Bali Yiroeh. That's the question which the Rishonim discussed. And the Ran explains Rashi's opinion in the Gemara, and the Ran explains as follows. Rashi says, this is what the Ran says. Firstly, he proves that Bedikas Chometz is Doraisa, which is very interesting. He says, Bedikas Chometz, the actual checking is the Doraisa. We're familiar with the Gemara. Gemara learns that Chippus mi Chippus, or Veneris mi Neiris, etc. The Gemara says, we see that there is a concept that's Minas Torah to check for Chometz. And he says, if that's the case, then how does it work? Like the question which we asked already, surely if you've got Chometz in the house, something which we didn't find, so if you didn't find the Chometz, then how does the Torah think that the Bedikah is going to help you deal with the problem of Chometz on Pesach? So So he says a chiddush, and I'm going to put it in my own words. The Ron says a big chiddush. Ron says that the B'dikas Chometz that we do is a fulfillment of Tashbisu. Mitzvah of Tashbisu. We have to destroy all Chometz. And the Ron says a big chiddush that Tashbisu is the Torah's remedy for Bal Yeroah. Which means as follows. You have an obligation to burn Chometz. So you could say that Ha'ilechud v'ha'ilechud. You could say you burn some Chometz, from Tashbisu. If you had more chometz in your house, it could be open by you have Bal Yeroah. It could be a problem. They don't necessarily have to tally. So the Ram knows. The Ram says that if the Torah tells you you have a mitzvah of Tashbisu, then it must be that the mitzvah of Tashbisu is there to ensure you don't infringe on Bal Yeroah. They go hand in hand. And therefore the corollary of that is that you're only over on Bal Yeroah if you haven't done Tashbisu. That's a point of Lomdus, which has to be understood. That you only have broken the Isser of Bal Yeroah if you fail to do Tashbisu. Conversely, if you did Tashbisu, whichever prescribed method is given, you do Tashbisu, then you can't be over on Bal Yeroah. Therefore, he says, you can do Tashbisu in two ways, there's two options. One is the quick way, just do bittle, just say bottle and finish, and it's all over. And then that's how you just. One way of doing Tashbisu. The second option, the second method, is to do Tashbisu by way of B'dikas Chometz. The Torah gives you that method, that pathway. You can check for your Chometz, and by checking, you are now going to avoid, you've now done Tashbisu. Because it says the Ram, if you check for, and then obviously burn, all the Chometz you know about, number one, and you check for and burn all the chometz in places where you expect it to be, then what more could a Torah want of you? It's a mitzvah tashbisu. How can you do a mitzvah which is beyond man's capability to perform? Any mitzvah has to be a way to perform it. Therefore, you find all the chometz you know about, you check for any chometz in places where you expect it to be. Once you've done that, then he says, Somcha ha-Torah ala chazoka, it's a famous phrase. Somcha Torah ala chazoka. The Torah relies on the chazoka. The chazoka is that there's no longer any chometz in your house, and therefore there's no longer chometz in your house. You've done tashbisu, and there's no Bal Yeroah. And therefore, even if you find chometz on Pesach, and you actually did Bedika, and it happens to be you missed something, says the Ram, there's no Bal Yeroah. There's no Bal Yeroah involved at all now, because now you've done everything you could do. Once you've done everything you could do, then there's no Bal Yeroah involved. And therefore, that's how he explains Rashi's opinion. Rashi therefore holds Bal Yeroah. The reason why you do Bedika is to avoid Bal Yeroah, because indeed, once you've done Bedika, and you've done everything that is humanly possible to check in a sensible, organized fashion, then you've done everything you need to do, and there's no longer any problem of chometz, and therefore Rashi is indeed correct to say that Bedika deals with Bal Yeroah. It's not just a way of avoiding. Now, with that in mind, that just to say that very in two words, really, there's an argument whether Bedika is the Rabbanon according to Tosfos or Deraisa according to Rashi. That's the point. Rashi holds that what you're doing on Thursday night coming up is going to be a Torah obligation. Possibly, if you did bittle afterwards, it changes things somewhat. But according to Rashi, it's a Torah obligation. According to Tosfos, it's a din midrabbanan. Now, with that in mind, we can just try and flesh out some more of the details of B'dikas Chometz. The first relevance of this machlokes, which just mentioned, is as well as derasa derabbanan, is regarding how much you need to look for. How crazy do you have to make yourself when you're looking for Chometz? How much? What size piece are you looking for when you're looking for Chometz? And the poskim discuss it based on a din which you may be familiar from the Gemara about botzek shvesitke areva, the dough which is stuck into the kneading trough. So it's a Gemara in Pesachim, botzek shvesitke areva, and they would have dough which was stuck inside the cracks of the kneading trough. So again, can't say every word, but just to paraphrase it, the baseline halacha is like this: that if you have bits of dough stuck in the trough, even if it's not all in one place, but you have a kazayis spread out throughout the cracks of the pot, then you have to destroy that amount of dough. You have to take it away and burn it. If there's less than a kazayis in the container, then you don't need to take that chometz out and destroy it. That's the basic halacha. Mishpura adds to that. Okay, but emesish machlokus ben apostim is an argument bezer. The das harba poskim da fide pachas mekazayas. According to many opinions, even less than a kazayas, sorry, biur, it needs to be burnt. That's what the Mishpura adds on to that, which is a big stringency. Because in other words, the main opinion is that you have a kazayas, then you have to get rid of it. If you have less than a kazayas, you don't. And Mishpura adds that there are many people who say that even less than a kazayas, you do need to destroy. Now, what ramifications does that have on B'dikas Chometz for us? So, firstly, it could be, some suggest the following, that this stringency about destroying less than a kazayis is only when you know there's chometz there. When you have chometz in this kneading trough, it's in front of you. You're not looking for it, it's there. So chometz which is there, you have to destroy with less than a kazayis. That doesn't necessarily mean that when you're looking for chometz which you don't know about, sofet chometz, they have to look for less than a kazayis in everywhere in the house where it could possibly be. That's one particular point, and therefore, according to that idea, that understanding, it's only when you have an actual kazayis, you're looking for a kazayis, that just as a useful benchmark, a kazayis is about the size of half a slice of bread. That's about the average guesstimate of a kazayis. Half a slice of bread, or an average biscuit, let's say. So, any less than that, according to that, you don't need to check for. But of course, the other two are more stringent. And they say that, no, that the same way you have to destroy chometz less than a kazayis, you also need to look for chometz which is less than a kazayis. But the Mishbrua adds the following words over there. He says, V'dafka kishiroi l'achilo katsas. It's only, even when we're dealing with less than a kazayis, it's only where the piece is somewhat fitting for eating. Of an hoyim a ton of kazayis, if it was off-putting or despicable, and they say that it's the sort of thing which crumbs on the floor, which have been trodden on. Obviously, normally we think about eating, so that's not what we're looking. We're not looking at all for those sort of things. So we could put it into other words. We could say that let's try and put it into our argument between Tosis and Rashi, whether Bedikah is the rice or the rabbanon. Tosis says that the reason why you do Bedikah is Shema Yovel Ochli. You might come to eat it. Rashi says it's because of Bal Yeroa, because there's a problem with Bal Yeroa. Now, generally speaking, I think it's accepted that Bal Yeroa doesn't apply unless you have a kazayas. You only over on Bal Yeroa, the rice, if you have a kazayas in the house. According to Rashi, it's reasonable to say, according to Rashi, that you're only checking for a kazayas. This chumrah, to check for less than a kazayas, stems from Tosis' opinion that the idea of the badika is Shema Yovel Ochlo, in case you leave a small piece in your house, you might find it, oh, that's an interesting Cheerio, and I pop it in your mouth on Pesach. Shema Yovel Ochlo. Now, we said according to Tosis that a Bedikah is Midrabonon, which is worth noting, because the whole point is that it's not because of Bal Yeroa, because it's an additional rabbinic obligation. Now, that being the case, that means it helps balancing somewhat, that it means that even if you're Machmir to look for less than a Kazayas, you're doing so on a Dirabonon premise. You're doing so because you're machmir for Tosfos, which is only midrabanon, and therefore there's definitely grounds to say that within that one can doesn't necessarily have to go to the nth degree, and one can take a balanced view, which means as follows: that when we're dealing with a concern of shema yovel ochloi, so we're talking about you might find a pretzel or half a biscuit or a small cherry, but suddenly if you emptied out all your socks from the drawer and then you wipe it out and then you still see a bit of dust in the corner, that sort of bedikas chometz is all me'alo me'eiver OTT and spring cleaning and all that, but it's nothing to do with bedikas chometz, and it's clear that therefore a person who goes that far has really overstepped the mark and is not necessarily not doing anything towards bedikas chometz, they're just cleaning the house. But we have to know, because obviously the next night in most communities, the night after bedikas chometz is Leil Seder, and that being the case, we have to know that on Seder night we have mitzvahs min haTorah, you have to check, you have to say Magid, etc. And if a person is ois mensch, after the first cup of wine and 1 hour sleep the night before, their head's already spinning, they're out of things, then clearly that's not the right balance between how much the degree you should be checking and your other obligations. Therefore, and I also add that it's said that the Chasam Sofer was wont to say that Bedikas Chometz should take 1 hour, that's what he said. Bedikas Chometz should take 1 hour, and it's true, the houses were less expansive than ours, and they had less iPhones and other gadgets to check, but nevertheless, it's clear that if a person finishes at 3 in the morning, something's gone wrong somewhere along the lines, so maybe they should have tied the house more thoroughly beforehand. One way or the other, the obligation therefore to check, if you're going to be machmir, is to check for a small amount that has some sort of significance, and not to go ma'alam eva. We say Yisrael Kedoshim here, we check even for small amounts, but I think it has to be done within reason and with the expected normals of what person can manage, and that is enough about that. So, moving on now to when to be bred, the time to be bred, the right time. Okay, so I don't know who's going away for Pesach, who's going to be with us, but either way, we know the halacha, if you're leaving your house 30 days before Pesach, you do not need to check. If you go away for an extended break for 30 days plus Pesach, then you don't need to check. If you leave your house within 30 days, you do need to check. You check without a bracha, and that checking has to be done the night before you leave the Arham there. And over here also, it's just worth noting this. These are a bit of thought, because if you think about it for a second, we're saying that all of us who are here on Thursday night are going to check with the bracha. If you leave early, if you leave on Tuesday to go to a hotel somewhere, and you're going to check without a bracha. So it sounds like the takana of Chazal was to check specifically on the night of the 14th. That's the mitzvah, midrabbanan, maybe d'oraisa. That's the mitzvah on the night of the 14th. So what is this business about if you missed the mitzvah, if you couldn't do it for some reason, that you should do it earlier without a bracha? It's a halfway house. If you're not doing it in the right way, then just do little and finish. If you leave before 30 days, then what do? You got a house full of wheatabakes, what do? You do bittle, right? If you leave before 30 days, you do bittle, and that's good enough. So after 30 days, why suddenly are we giving you this sort of quasi half mitzvah without a bracha, but you still check? So I thought it could be understood according to the Ram we mentioned earlier on, because we know that the Gemara says that the source, the Makar of this din about checking within 30 days, because the Gemara said that Moshe Omar the Pesach Rishon v'Hizra Pesach Sheni, Moshe gave the rules of Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. 30 days, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, Sholim B'Darshim B'Hilchas Achag. 30 days before the Yom Tov, you have to start getting involved in the halachas of Yom Tov. And I thought, according to the Ran, it's understood very, very nicely, this idea of bedika before the actual night of the takana. Because according to the Ran, tashbisu means that you have to do whatever is within your power to check. You have to check the places where you expect chometz to be, and that's how you do tashbisu. And how do you avoid bali roya? By doing tashbisu. So it stands to reason that you have to have a plan. Makes sense, right? Because there's a chumrah and a kula in the run. The run says, if you did everything you can, then you're done, you're fine. And if you find something later on, it's not your problem. But then the converse is that it's a chumrah. Because if you say you have to do everything you can't say, well, I'll wake up Pesach morning and then let's just see what happens. Erev Pesach morning. One second, that's not doing everything you can. How do you expect to check in your house if you didn't have a plan? Therefore, the corollary of the run is that we have a 30-day period before Pesach, where the halacha says you have to be zohir, you have to be involved in thinking pre-Pesach, from Purim onwards. Well, no, halacha, you have to know where your chometz is going to be, you have to have some idea of what you're doing with it, and have a plan how you're going to eradicate it. And that kicks in 30 days before Pesach. So it's true, the principle takana of bedikas chometz only applies on Leil Yud Dalet. But before that time, you have to have some agenda. Yeah, and your agenda's got to be that you're involved in chometz, and therefore, if you're leaving within 30 days, you've got to check. More halachic aspects of that now, because we know that therefore, if you leave, you've got to check without a bracha with a candle. Let's talk about that was the departure. Now we're in the arrivals lounge. So you've arrived wherever you're going to. There are various places you could have got. You could be a guest at someone's house, you could be in a hotel, you could be renting your own flat. Let's go through the cases. So if you're a guest in someone else's house, you're staying with another family, you did not do bedikas chometz, you can't do it. You can do it as a shliach for them if they want, but you can't do bedika, not in your room, it's not your room, you don't own it, you haven't rented it. So if you're a guest, there's no bedikas chometz, and if you have a car, let's say you go to a family in Manchester and you're staying with your son-in-law in Manchester, so you have to check your car. You can't make a bracha on the car because the bracha was made on the bedika of a house. In particular, bias only, so you check your pockets on your car, but there's no bracha on that. If you are renting a house, then we know, it's well known that it's to do with the handing over the keys. Whoever has the keys on the night of the 14th. So if you have been given the keys before the 14th, then you have to check, unless there was an agreement. If there's an agreement that he will check, providing the person who you're renting the house from is a Elech Hayid who you can rely on to say they checked, then you do not check. If you got the keys after the Yudala, then the Maskir needs to check. Hotels. Person stays in a hotel over Pesach. Important that it's accepted that you do have to check your room. You have to check your room with a bracha. Very important. So although in a hotel, we hope, depending on how many stars they give it, we would hope that the room would be checked before you get in there. But nevertheless, we hope the room is clean before you get in there. But nevertheless, the cleaning that the Romanian cleaning lady does has nothing to do with B'dikas Chometz. It's cleaning, there's B'dikas Chometz. It's a different function, and therefore it's not done in the same thought in mind. And therefore, there's no reason to assume because somebody has vacuumed the floors and shaken the bedspreads, necessarily they've done a bedikas chometz, and therefore, in a hotel room, you're obligated to check, unless the hotel tells you that it's pre-checked the room by some mashkiach who's checked the room beforehand, but other than that, you do need to check.
Should you put bread out to find it?
And once again, if your customers put out bread on, then yeah, and that's a good point. So I heard someone say once that what you should really do is you come on the, let's say this year, come on a Wednesday, so eat your sandwiches in the room, eat them in the room, and therefore you definitely, it's now clearly a mokum shemachnisim bechomets, and then you share, and if you have a customer for 10 pieces, then put them around the room. Quite right. An office, if you own it, you've got to check. If you work in a large firm, a law firm in town, and even if you have your own room in the firm, unless you're a partner, you don't have to check your room, because the room is not your room, it's given to you to work in. The room is not yours, you have to take your own chometz out. You can't leave chometz in your because you own it, but there's no mitzvah b'dika in the room, sorry? If it's a Jewish firm, then the partners together need to organize how they have to appoint somebody to do bedikas chometz.
If it's not from Jewish firm,
then you could.
And your area is
in Bethlehem. So, then as a shutuf, you have to do. You might, if you're a shutuf where some of the partners are not going to do it, and you are, then you have to do the whole thing because, unless you. You don't segregate the division of the building. Each person is. Employee is not his problem at all, no, he's completely out of the picture. He can take his own chometz out, and then if he's going to be on Pesach, then it's going to create confusion too much, running out of time. But employees do not need to, it's not their concern. A person who buys a new house on and the sale goes through on just before Pesach, on Erev Pesach, on the night of the 14th, then if you buy the house, even if you haven't got the keys, that's important over here. Even if you haven't got the keys, but the contract goes through before the 14th, then obligation is upon you to check. If it's an investment property, you might want to just sell it with the rest of your chometz. But that's some rules about the time to check.
Right, moving on, I'm trying to condense next bit into as short as possible, more pages than I thought. Where to check? So we know you check a place where you normally bring chometz into, very low place, below 3 kafachim, 30 centimeters does not need to be checked. Very high place where you don't normally put things do not need to be checked. In a house where children walk around regularly, then even below 3 kafachim you do need to check because kids put things everywhere. But a higher cupboards where the children can't reach, then you need not concern yourself that a child threw something on top, and therefore laundry cupboards where you keep towels and linen don't need to be checked. The attic doesn't need to be checked. A garden shed that is locked and little children haven't got access to it, then it doesn't need to be checked. All these areas, even the point being, you have to check where chometz is sometimes or normally brought. You have to check where chometz, in theory, according to some far stretched story, might have got to. Now, the point is like where chometz is normally brought to or could have been brought to. Sforim really is a. I'm going to. Sorry. Give me 2 minutes extra time and then we'll finish. Sporim are really related to this issue whether we're checking for a kazayas or less than a kazayas, because in a sefer, so the Chazon Ish apparently kept all his sporim locked up at Pesach. He only kept out a shas, all he had just a shas, and a sefer from the Chibina Rav, the Kechve, so he kept shas and the Kechve Yaakov out. Everything else Chazon Ish put away because you can't check. And they told the Chibina Rav, and they said they thought he'd be delighted. They told him that the Chazon Ish keep only the shas and your sefer out. And he said, because he doesn't use it the whole year. That's why. So but one way or the other, when it comes to checking Sforim, the way to be knowing if you're not going to be machmir for the tiniest crumb, then really to check a sefer, you don't need to shake it out. And if you hold the sefer like this, you can see if there's a pretzel or stuck inside it by looking at it in a just holding it shut like that. And therefore, that should be, even if you want to be careful as far enough to check in that fashion, bring them to the table is a whole different issue, because you might want to worry about marshu. We're talking about bedikas chometz there, eating chometz with a marshu, and therefore you have to avoid bringing to the table what you bring to the table during the year. The garden does not need to be checked unless, and be careful with this, because if you give kids food on Erev Pesach is after you've done B'dikas Chometz, then you're in big trouble. Because even though we say we assume birds and animals eat up all the Chometz, and only when it comes to B'dikas Chometz, once you've passed that time and you've now done B'dikas Chometz, you can't rely on the birds eating things, and therefore you have to avoid leaving mess in the garden after B'dikas Chometz. Under fridges and under sofas, the rule of thumb is as follows. You don't need to move things that you don't normally move. So if you're in the process of cleaning your house normally, you wouldn't move your fridge. Your fridge is enormous, and you never think about moving, even you're cleaning quite thoroughly normally, then you need to check. If your sofa is very, very heavy, you never normally think of moving that. You don't need to check underneath it, and you don't need to pull it out. You can check what you can see. You don't need to pull out the items that are so heavy you wouldn't normally move them, and even if the comet is actually stuck behind the fridge and you can see it, but you can't get it out without moving the normal fridge, then you can be mucking with your business, but you don't have to. You can bottle it, and that's how it's dealt with. I'm just going to pick out an entire page of one most pertinent line. Using a torch for B'dikas Chometz, so we should definitely stick to using a candle. The Tekonah wants to use a candle since the run is a deraisa, derived from the sukkim, chippus mechippus, neiris mineiris, ner miner. But you should also use a torch. Some areas of torch is preferential because a candle, if you're concerned, you might set fire. You have a four inch thick carpet underneath your 10,000 pound sofa, and you're not going to put a candle in there enough to check because you are going to be concerned you might burn the house down, and therefore you should check with a torch, preferably the candle. Nevertheless, the candle should not be discarded in the general B'dika because it's part of the original Tekonah. Who should check? Mitzvah Bo Yosef B'Shluchai, very relevant to ladies who are living by themselves, whether an almana or a young girl, someone living by themselves, the mitzvah says they have to check more than somebody else. If you can't finish B'dika by yourself, you get your kids to help you, that's fine, but the Chatzchili should try and do it by yourself. And the person does B'dika by themselves and then finds they haven't got enough time or care to finish it, so you have a choice between asking a neighbor to come in who's an adult or asking your kids who heard the bracha. You better actually ask the children who heard the bracha, because if you ask the neighbor, although maybe he's going to do it better than the children might do, but nevertheless the children heard the bracha, and you're losing the bracha if your neighbor does it. Regarding women can do B'dikas Chometz as well, although Rashi says in the Gemara that if B'dikas Chometz will be deraisa, we'll end on this point, in case any women listen to the show, we'll end on a positive note. The Gemara says that if B'dikas Chometz was deraisa, it's not, then women couldn't do it. But because it's the Rabbanim, they are believed, they're trusted to B'dikas Chometz. And Rashi said, well, because women are lazy, and they wouldn't get around to doing the B'dika thoroughly. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you can't leave yet. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that nowadays, he says that the Noshim, nowadays, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Noshim are now Medaktikos Yoseh Mi'an Noshim. And therefore, he said that the women are now more now on the men. I think most of us can probably bear that out. That is more or less what we got to. A few things we didn't get to things quite finished, but let's show what we'll be blazing. And of course, just to end on the point as well, it has to be said that as we know, the Gemara derives the mitzvah of B'dika from the apostolic, which is to do with that Hashem is mechapit if Yerushalayim ben Neir. Hashem v'eisahi achapit if Yerushalayim ben Neir. Hashem says, at that time I will search through Yerushalayim by candle, and Hashem will say, he'll find every person who's worthy, and the Mashiach knows are not worthy, Hashem will check us out. So that's the B'dikas Chometz as well, in the Oymek we saw is the idea of checking, as well as the house, we're checking ourselves to see that we are squeaky clean and trying to improve ourselves and to try and eradicate all Shemeth of the Eitz Sahara, which the Chometz represents, and we'll be Zoycha to check in the physical plane and the spiritual plane and then the Koshavata.